Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the commission, October 26, 2022. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda, currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening to the meeting by telephone, I will take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please state that you are present. Commissioner Barry? Commissioner Einhorn? Commissioner Fuzeci?
Present.
Commissioner Hankins?
Present.
Commissioner Streeter?
Present.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, present. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission meeting of October 12, 2022. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting of October 12, 2022.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll take a roll of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. So I'll begin with the first item on the agenda is docket number FIC 2020-0509, Elizardo Montanez versus Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport, et al. Are you there, Mr. Montanez?
Yeah, present.
Is there anyone here for the City of Bridgeport?
Yes, Tina Scalo for the City of Bridgeport.
Okay. We'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0518, Lizardo Montanez versus Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport et al. Mr. Montanez, would you like that marked ready as well?
Yes.
Those cases were combined, were they not?
Yes.
Okay. And Ms. Scala, Attorney Scala, you're here on that matter as well?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0694, John Kaminsky versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Public Health, et al. Are you there, Mr. Kaminsky? Is there anyone here for the State of Connecticut, Department of Public Health?
My name is Elizabeth Bannon, Assistant Attorney General for the respondents.
Would you like to be heard?
Only that we support the commission adopting the
I'm sorry, I interrupted. Someone else is with you.
Alina Brinkman-Goldstein, Assistant Attorney General.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I'll call again. John Kaminsky, are you there? Hearing no answer, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this was a dismissal, not seeing the complainant here, and at the request of the responding attorney, Assistant Attorney General, as I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0618, Christopher Adone versus Chair Team Westport, Town of Westport, et al. Is Christopher Adone there, please? Is there anyone there from the Town of Westport or from Team Westport? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, seeing no one's here to represent themselves, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion?
I have a question on the report.
Mr. Fuzeci.
So, let me just turn to it for a second. I have a question for the hearing officer. Who was? hearing officer.
Hausen, and she is away right now, but perhaps.
All right. So my question is, as I read this decision, it covers all the listed parties, and when you go to point two, lists all the different parties whose emails or correspondence is subject to release. And one of them is called the NYU Metropolitan Center for Research on Equity and Transformation of Schools. And is that a public agency? Under RLON?
I wouldn't think so. The NYU Metro
Center? No, I just, so, and the other question, I'm not sure what Team West Point is. And is that a public agency?
I don't know. That issue wasn't brought before us.
So as I read the order, it covers all those entities. And
right, the Board of Education is required to disclose.
I think if we have emails or correspondence between any and all of those, if I read it correctly.
Within the possession of the Board of Education, though, so that they would be records in the hands of the agency.
Where does it say within the possession of?
Commissioner Fuzesi, it's against the Board of Education, Westport Public Schools. These are emails that are in their possession, therefore, they're.
So the order goes out to the Board of Education to release all records under that umbrella that they maintain. And the case was, as Attorney Schwinn just pointed out, the case was originally brought against the chair of the Team Westport, Town of Westport, and Team Westport, Town of Westport, and that was withdrawn against that party.
Thank you. I understand the clarification. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzesi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0631, Kristen Norton versus Town Manager, Town of South Windsor, et al. Is Kristen Norton here, please?
She's here with her counsel.
Thank you. What's your name, counsel?
Ed Taman.
Ed Taman?
Taman, yes.
Is there anyone here from the Town of South Windsor?
Yes. Respondent, Attorney Richard Corella.
Richard Corella. Thank you. Mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0659, Bob Serkin versus Security Commissioner, Point of Woods Association, Board of Governors, et al.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Who are you here for?
The docket that you just read.
Are you Bob Serkin?
Yes.
Okay. I'll mark that ready, Mr. Serkin. Is there anyone here from Point of Woods Association?
Attorney Ryan Eastep on behalf of the respondents.
Thank you, Attorney Eastep. We marked that ready. Next is Eugene Driscoll. Docket number FIC 2021-0671, Eugene Driscoll and the Valley Independent Sentinel versus Mayor, City of West Haven, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
I'm here for the City of West Haven.
Who are you, please?
I'm Attorney Michael Leone.
Attorney Michael Leone?
Yep.
Thank you, Attorney Leone.
I have nothing to be heard on this other than I support the dismissal because of the decision.
Thank you. I'll call again. Is Eugene Driscoll here, please? Hearing no response, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, seeing the complaint is not here and there's no objection of the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzesi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0683, Greg Smith and Gaudet versus Mayor, City of New London, et al. Is Greg Smith there, please? Is anyone here from the City of New London?
Attorney Brian Eastep on behalf of the City of New London.
Would you like to be heard on this matter?
I would like to be heard on this matter.
Okay, we'll mark that ready, Attorney Eastep.
Thank you.
Next is docket number FIC 2021-0735. Barry Lee Cohen versus Mayor, City of West Haven, et al. Is Barry Lee Cohen there, please? Is anyone here from the City of West Haven?
Yes, City of West Haven, Attorney Michael Leone again. I'm not going to speak on this item. I support the dismissal based upon the withdrawal.
Thank you, Attorney Leone. Is Barry Lee Cohen there again? Hearing no response, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, the complainant claimed that they satisfied, received all the records received and withdrew the case. It was dismissed. No objection to the complainant. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Second.
The motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney Leone. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0737. Permal Mafatari versus Tax Collector, City of Torrington and City of Torrington. Is Permal Mafatari there, please? And I apologize if I'm mispronouncing the name. How do I pronounce your name, sir?
Erman Mafatari.
Mafatari?
Mafatari.
Say it again.
Erman Mafatari.
Erman Mafatari. Okay. And is someone there with you?
Yes.
Yes. Samir Mafatari.
Brother. Okay. Thank you. And is anyone there from the City of Torrington?
Yes. Attorney Matt Studer for the respondent.
Thank you, Attorney Studer. Thank you, both brothers. Sorry. We'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0009, Maria Pereira versus City Council, City of Bridgeport et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Dina Scaloa for the respondents. I don't need to be heard for this one. We have no objection to adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Okay. I'll ask again, is Maria Pereira there, please? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, seeing the complaint is not here and there's no objection of the respondents, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeci.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney Scala. Next is FIC 2022-0027, Robert Hagar versus Chief Police Department, City of Groton, et al. Is Robert Hagar there, please?
Robert Hagar.
Okay. Is there anyone here from the City of Groton? We'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0071, Anthony Deegan versus City Attorney, City of Bridgeport et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Dina Scaloa, Office of the City Attorney for the respondents. We have no objection to the hearing officer's report for this matter.
Thank you. Is Anthony Deegan there, please? Hearing no response, I'd entertain a motion. This was a withdrawal.
Mr. Chairman, the parties reached a settlement. It was withdrawn and dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fizeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0098. Neil, this one's marked off. Is that correct?
Yes.
Attorney Murphy? Any reason to call it?
No.
Okay. So that matter has been marked off. We'll move to the next matter. Docket number FIC 2022-0117, Mark Grenier and 587 CT Ave LLC versus Tax Assessor, City of Norwalk and City of Norwalk. Is Mark Grenier there, please? Is 587 CT Ave LLC there? Anyone for 587 CT Ave LLC? Is there anyone here from the City of Norwalk? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, seeing no one present, I move an option to the hearing officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fizeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Last is FIC 2022-0185, Lisa Sims versus Chief Fire Department, City of New Haven, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Is Lisa Sims here? Is there anyone here from the City of New Haven? This was withdrawn. I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, as you mentioned, it was withdrawn and dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fizeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcements.
Sure. Thank you. As we've indicated, this matter is being recorded in its entirety, and it'll be available on our website soon after our meeting. If you want to have access to it and have any issues, just let us know, call our office. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral arguments, 10 minutes per side. I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. First matter is docket number FIC 2020-0509, Elizardo Montanez versus Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport, et al.
Yes.
1 second. We're just waiting for Attorney Dina Scalo to approach. All right. Mr. Montanez, are you there?
Yes.
Attorney Scalo?
Yes.
Attorney Scalo, would you like to begin, please?
Sure. On behalf of the respondents, we have no objection to full adoption of the hearing officer's report in this matter. I know Mr. Montanez is on the line, so I'd be happy to answer any questions on behalf of the respondents, but we have no objections as it's written.
Thank you. Mr. Montanez, you have the floor.
I kind of want to, on docket number F1C 2020-0509, stuff I have requested from on our docket number was Valerie Gomez de la Vega, date of birth 7/18/81. I requested for a robbery case file, bond to the bail commission notes, and her arrest record, and also case file 1490328, and Jonathan Bagans. Arrest record as well. I got it on paper. It only says that I would receive Jonathan's big arrest record and anything but Valerie Gomez bail commission notes. If everything that I requested from that docket number, I guess I will. She's looking into it, or I will not receive it.
So, Mr. Montanez, the order, and that's the first matter, correct?
Yes.
These were consolidated. 0509 was consolidated with 0518, correct?
Yes.
So, on the first one, if you read the order, there's four paragraphs. It says within 14 days of the notice, the respondent shall provide a copy of all records responsive to the November 7, 2019 request described in paragraph 2 of the findings above to the complainant free of charge. And I won't read the other paragraphs, but that's where you should start to read, and you'll see that you should be getting these documents within 14 days. However, they have a right to provide a privilege log to you identifying records that are claimed to be exempt. And they would also have to set forth their legal basis for claiming the exemption and not providing the record. So you should receive something within 14 days if we issue this order.
All right. Yeah, but I get what you're saying.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I do have a question. Are we giving the city of Bridgeport a second bite at the apple? They failed to provide these records. It was a lengthy period of time that expired, and then they're going to be able to claim an exemption at a later date.
I think that is encompassed, yes, within a third order allowing the respondents to claim the exemption, to identify that for the complainant. And I suppose if there's something he objects to, he could file a complaint with us. A process there. Perhaps Attorney Scalo can speak to that. Attorney Perlman is in court at this time.
Okay.
She was a hearing officer. So,
Attorney Scalo, how long did it take for the city to respond to this?
To respond in terms of providing a responsive record or providing just an
How about providing records? Has your client provided any records?
At this time, no. As we discussed on the record at the hearing, the delay was in part due to the time taken needed to review the responsive records. So the review, we anticipate the review to be completed well within the 14 days required by the order, given the amount of time that's elapsed. So I'm not sure if that answers your question.
How long was the delay?
I believe the initial request was dated November 7th, 2019,
and we're now in 2022. We're
right.
Almost in November of 2022, and not a record has been provided to this individual who asked for the records. So that's why the decision was issued that said that your client wasn't prompt, correct?
That's correct, yes.
But not only is the client issued that order, but your client is given the opportunity then to provide this body with a privilege log and claimed exemptions, when that should have been done well before this.
I agree. We concede the fact that the response was not prompt. We provided evidence to the effect of the number of requests that the city has been tasked to review and process, the very limited staff tasked to do that. A lot of this communication and processing of the request took place during COVID, where our in-office capabilities were significantly limited. So the city certainly concedes that quite a bit of time has passed. But we would argue that the hearing officer's order to provide responsive records fully redacted, which the respondents have no issue with complying with this order within the 14 days. And we hope to be in further contact with Mr. Montanez if he has any questions regarding the records we provide.
I mean, I don't mean to put you on the hot seat, but I know this has occurred before with your client. Your client is getting a second bite at the apple, and so there's no incentive for your client to just do its job, which is to provide these records in a prompt manner. 2 years, I mean, this was a request made in 2019. We're now in 2022. It isn't appropriate. And then your client gets to make their exemption claims at that point, when they should be providing the records or providing their exemption claim right away. And I don't think that's fair. I don't know how the other commissioners feel about that.
Well, I mean, this is reminiscent of the Peeler matter we're in.
Second time. But I mean, if there's no penalty, then
the lesson is, well, we'll just do whatever we want. We'll provide the records whenever it's convenient for us and not pursuant to the law. So.
I can certainly respond to that, Mr. Sure. Chairman, if you'd like. I think the city, we're certainly aware of the fact that, yes, it has taken an exceedingly long time to process some requests, given our huge volume of requests that we've received. We laid out these facts in the affidavit to the hearing officer. Since then, you know, this of course isn't in the record, but the city has taken steps to remedy this situation, hiring additional staff, retooling our internal processes for processing requests. So I would argue that the city is on the same page as the commission, certainly with its obligation to comply with requests promptly, and we're taking steps to do just that. I wouldn't say that the city is getting off scot-free. Certainly, we have orders to provide responsive records, which, again, we have no objection to doing. It's really triage at this point in terms of trying to produce records within the confines of the commission's orders and trying to provide timely compliance to all, you know, 2,000-some-odd requests that we have pending. The city certainly doesn't appreciate, you know, we don't like seeing adverse findings from the commission, and we're taking steps to remedy that. So I wouldn't say that, you know, we're just sort of knocking off our obligations. We're certainly aware of our obligations and are doing our best to meet them.
Mr. Chair.
So, Attorney Skill, the decision came down on September 29th. Have they already started the review? Because you came here today basically saying you had no objection. So basically, once you got this, you realized that chances are you've been through this with us. We would have approved this lightly only. So this 14 days should be, they should already be well in hand.
Yes, as we mentioned a bit on the record in the hearings, and I don't know how much we want to get into since the hearings have passed, but the records have been under review constantly as time permits. So the review should be completed within this 14 days, certainly.
Okay. Thank you.
Have any records been provided to the other side as of this date?
Records responded to the request? No, not at this time.
So you've reviewed some records and you haven't provided any of those records. It could be provided to the other side.
We can certainly provide them on a rolling basis rather than just wait until the 14 days expires and then give them all in one shot. We're always open to doing that, but, you know, unless we hear from the complainant saying that they'll accept records, that way we usually wait until all the records are reviewed and then provide them at that time.
Well, as I said, I don't mean to put you in the hot seat, but we've had this issue with your client in the past. And it isn't appreciated. It's something that they need to address. I do think that they're getting a second bite at the apple, and other towns and cities have the same burden that your city has. And so the explanation again and again is not going to be welcomed here.
Jim, I just like, you know, I've been on the record a number of times about disappointment with Bridgeport's speedy, timely compliance, so I remain, but I also like to note that the hearing on this was not held till March 17th, 2022. So I think we have a systemic issue to look at here. Post-COVID, how do we get general compliance and everybody who's participating in that process back up to speed so the time from requests to time for a commission decision is shortened.
Absolutely. I mean, we're working on that, and I think we're definitely improving on our end in terms of getting to hear all the cases that were filed in a 5 or 6 month period when we couldn't hear cases. So we're aware, and we are working on that.
Okay. And again, I don't mean to put you in the hot seat. You have a client to represent, so please send the message back. Thank you. All right, is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll take a roll call, and this is only on docket number FIC 2020-0509. A roll call of those in favor. Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. The next one was consolidated, but I'll call it docket number FIC 2020-0518, Lizardo Montanez versus Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport et al. Mr. Montanez, you're still there, correct?
Yes.
And do the same, do you have any issues with that decision?
Yes, I understand it was denied, but I had I had wrote to them about the January 21st, 2020, and I had requested, and then I was provided with a docket number, but they I was told that they never received it, if anything in that matter, and so I was trying to figure out like what's happening with that.
Well, it was dismissed, sir.
All right. So I had to file it over again?
We can't advise you on that, sir, but this matter was dismissed.
All right.
Attorney Scalo?
We have no objection to adoption of the hearing officer's report as written for this case.
Commissioners, have any questions? Then entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fizeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Montanez. Thank you, Attorney Scalo.
Thanks very much.
Next is docket number FIC 2021-0631. Kristen Norton versus Town Manager, Town of South Windsor et al. Kristen Norton.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to hang up?
You can hang up, yes, Mr. Martinez. Right. Thank you.
Right.
Take care. Will everyone please identify themselves for the record?
Yes. Good afternoon. Attorney Ed Tainan for Kristen Norton, and she is sitting to my right.
Thank you, Ms. Norton.
Good afternoon. Attorney Richard Corella for the respondents, Town of South Windsor.
Thank you. Attorney Corella, would you like to begin, please?
Sure. We filed an objection to the hearing officer's proposed decision on the basis that the hearing officer failed to take into consideration the claim of exemption under 1-210B4, the pending litigation exemption. This request is the third request by these same complainants over the period of the past few years, all rising out of pending litigation that continues to this day. In the first two instances, the town responded to the complainant's requests for information regarding the so-called hoarders list. And then in this third request, the complainant sought copies of email documents between the town and its attorneys related to that litigation and that list. So under 1-210B4, the pending litigation exemption, and under 1-210B10, the attorney-client privilege exemption, the town denied those requests, and this complaint and this appeal followed. The hearing officer concluded that the exemption under the attorney-client privilege that emails, there were nine emails that ultimately resulted in the response to the complaint, the complainant's request, and the hearing officer concluded that because the emails were appropriately redacted pursuant to the attorney-client privilege, the commission need not consider the respondent's claims of exemption pursuant to 210B4. That's on paragraph 25 of the hearing officer's proposed decision. Because the exemption under 210B4 was never addressed, it can't serve as the basis for any type of penalty or violation. That's clearly following Lash versus the Freedom of Information Commission, both the appellate court case and the Supreme Court case that we cite in our brief. And just kind of quoting Lash, you know, it's very clear, quote, the commission may not find that it is wrongful to withhold documents for which a good faith claim of exemption is made without first ruling the applicability of that exemption. So I think that's the situation that we have here. The town asserted good faith exemptions, valid exemptions under FOIA as to why they didn't need to respond to the complainant's requests for these documents. And until those claims are adjudicated, we should not be held, the town should not be held to have violated FOIA, as is the proposed decision. So that's the basis of our objection to the proposed decision.
Thank you. Counsel?
Yes, Your Honor. Excuse me, Commissioner. We agree with the proposed decision, and it's debatable as to whether or not this relates directly to litigation, whether litigation exemption applies. They said in the court documents and in testimony that my client was on a list of warders. And so if we were shocked and never heard of this before, and then after the fact, it's public records, give us the list of warders. And here we are 299 days later, not today, but from the date of the decision, the proposed decision, and it took that long for us to get this information. I think we agree with the proposed decision. We think it's late. Their response was terribly late. This is typical of our interaction with the town of South Windsor. And we feel that it's appropriate for this commission to levy a fine.
Thank you. Ms. Harmon, can you comment on?
Sure.
You heard me, sure. Attorney Carolla.
Sure. Felicia Harmon, counsel to the commission. So here's the timeline, Mr. Chairman and commissioners. So the request was made on October 7th, 2021. By the time of the hearing, which was July 1st, 2022, 277 days had passed. So we get to the hearing, and the respondents show up to the hearing, but the request in this case required three searches to be conducted. As you see in paragraph 10, you have to run three searches. So after 277 days, they had only run one search. So I sent them away after the hearing and told them to run the other two searches. No witnesses came, just counsel came for the respondents to the hearing. So they ran the other two searches and found 9 responsive emails. 7 of them were disclosed without redaction. And that's the issue right there. I mean, those emails should have been disclosed before the hearing, and the emails that had redactions, we should have talked about them at the hearing. So in total, 299 days from the date of the request until those additional emails were disclosed. And I understand counsel's argument. If all the records had been exempt, then I think we could look at Lash. But what I did at the hearing, I thought was actually kind of generous. I said, you need to go run these searches that the request kind of mandates. And if you find something that's responsive, you need to disclose it. And if you find something you think is exempt, give it to me. But that usually all happens before the hearing. And then we get evidence at the hearing. So, I was trying to be nice. I know everyone's busy. So, and also, 2 exemptions were claimed. So the 2 emails were disclosed with redactions, and they came in to me without redactions. And the claims were attorney-client privilege and pending litigation. I found the redactions were appropriate as attorney-client privilege communications. I didn't think I needed to also find the redactions were appropriate as pending litigation. What's the point? They're properly redacted as attorney-client privilege. So I think that it, took too long. I tried to be really understanding and let the respondents go back and run the searches to kind of get those records over to the complainant. And I stand by the decision.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions of parties or attorney?
No, thank you.
I'll just agree that, 299 days to get records, this is a problem, definitely a problem of violation. So it's cut and dry. It's the second meeting in a row that we've had South Windsor here. So hopefully they're not going to become the next Bridgeport.
Anything further? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move adopt the hearing officer's report.
Motion's been made and seconded. Your discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Kuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Alwyn Egan?
Yes.
Passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Council. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0659, Bob Sirkin versus Security Commissioner, Pointe Woods Association, Board of Governors, et al. Please come up and have a seat. You're over here, Mr. Sirkin, where the complainants go. Thank you. Mr. Sirkin, could you just state your name for the record?
Yes, Robert Sirkin.
Thank you. Council.
Attorney Brian Esep on behalf of the Pointe Woods Association.
Thank you. Great. Mr. Sirkin, would you like to begin, please?
Yes. Thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity to address you. I appreciate it. I want to start off by saying that a series of emails introduced by the defendants on June 20th at that hearing were irrelevant and did not in any way address the core issue of this case or my complaint. On October 6th, you advised me, your commission, advised me on the decision to dismiss my complaint against the Pointe Woods Board of Governors and for conducting an illegal executive session pertaining to our security. And this was on November 16th, 2021. So I'm here today asking you to strongly reconsider your decision, which is disrespectful and an affront to the 85 plus mostly senior year-round residents at Pointe Woods Beach. We are more than worthy of the board conducting an open, transparent discussion of providing us with enhanced winter security, not a closed, needless executive session that blatantly and purposely ignored the safety and security of us year-round residents. Again, I'm here before you telling you that unequivocally, as a veteran journalist and student of FOIA law, the Pointe Woods Board grossly misapplied Section 200-1, Paragraph 6 of the FOIA law pertaining to our security issues. That section states, and I quote, "The public is excluded for discussion concerning appointment, employment, and performance of matters concerning security strategy for the deployment of security personnel or devices affecting public security," unquote. However, we were merely asking for the Board of Governors to consider our need for enhanced security. We were simply trying to gauge the board's interest in providing some form of enhanced security, and if so, when could such enhancements be made? That's all we were asking. Proof that the board arbitrarily, purposely moved to quickly dispose of our critical concerns and needs is the fact that since November 16th of 2021, the board has yet to address our concerns in any communication form whatsoever, not by email, postal mail, or even a posting on the Pointe Woods website and bulletin boards. Absolutely no follow-up. The one and only action taken by me was urging Eversource to install a single brighter, wider light bulb in its street lamp at the entrance to our beach. That's it. In closing, I want to urge this commission to strongly reconsider your ruling against us, finding the Pointe Woods Board of Governors in violation of Section 200-1, Paragraph 6 of the Freedom of Information Act of Connecticut. The fear among our year-round senior residents remains real. Our outrage at the Point of Woods board and this commission's ruling is palpable. It is for us a true matter of life or possible death, considering the continued rash of serious shoreline crimes affecting beach communities such as ours. So I want to thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Sargent.
Good afternoon, commissioners. First, as to the complainant's comments regarding the emails, if you review the records of the hearing, all of the emails that he's discussing were put into evidence without objection from the complainant. So I'm a bit confused as to why he's now objecting to the emails that he didn't object to.
Because I'm here objecting, that's why.
At the time of the hearing. That's merely a side point to all of this. I believe this matter is a textbook example of what 1-206C allows for an executive session. If you review in paragraph 5 the specific agenda posting, it states that the executive session will discuss security problems, issues, and statistics from the summer of 2021, as well as the suggested augmented security protocols for the off-season in 2022 and the summer season of 2022. During the executive session, there will be a review of the recommended protocols from the security consultants in order to deal with particular issues. As I said, this is the reason why executive sessions are appropriate for security-related issues. These are not matters that should be discussed in the public as to how security will be augmented, how security will be laid out, who will be where, when, at what time periods. It would be basically a roadmap to those that you're trying to protect and from the public having to deal with if you would tell them all of these things in a public session. The board understands the concerns of Mr. Serkin and others as to security, which is why they met in executive session, why they modified security protocols based upon the executive session. But again, those are not matters that are appropriate to be done in the public or to be posted at that time. And we are in favor and support the adoption of the proposed decision. Thank you.
Serkin.
The counselor's statement that the board modified its security measures is absolutely unequivocally not true. There was nothing done other than, as I stated, a single light bulb at my insistence was changed out at the front of the entrance. Once again, the core of this issue is that the spirit and the wording of the statute does not apply, did not apply to what we, the residents, the year-round residents, were seeking. We weren't asking for any kind of secretive, proprietary security information or security personnel issues. All we were doing, as I repeat ad nauseum, all we were doing is trying to gauge the interest of the board in providing enhanced winter security, and if so, when would that happen? We were not asking for any kind of sensitive issues or findings or devices. That was not what we came to ask for. And therefore, we were denied, as I said, an open, transparent discussion of our grave concerns about our own security without any guards or any kind of enhanced security measures through the long, desolate winter months. We were denied that, and we're still denied it.
I'll only point out that the meetings of the Point of Woods Association are open. They're open to the public. They're open to the homeowners to raise all of these concerns with them. But an executive session is appropriate in these limited circumstances.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Yeah, Attorney Easton. So they must be able to, the residents that are there, you said it's an open meeting, they were able to bring these, you know, bring issues forward. Not everything goes under security. Like when you're talking statistics,
you know, that doesn't meet the standard for matters concerning security strategy, unless you have that in open session, and then you can go into executive session and discuss what you're going to do for the deployment of such personnel. But just talking about statistics does not require that. In addition, this talked about talking about things from the summer and things to do for the summer. He's talking about winter. That's not germane to if they bring something forward. That would be an open session, as you said. So I'm kind of confused that if you're trying to just put a huge beach blanket over this whole thing, or beach umbrella over this, to say that everything security is security when it's not.
No, we're not stating that. We're saying that the purpose of the meeting that was held in the executive session was to discuss, as outlined, review of recommended protocols from the security consultants in order to deal with particular issues, which again is the very basis of allowing security strategy, deployment, and related aspects to be held in executive session. There's nothing to stop individuals to bring these issues or to raise issues regarding them.
There was no discussion on lights. There was no discussion on winter.
I have no idea what the discussions were because we were not present, and it was held in executive session.
So the complaint is that you're able to attend these meetings. Are you able to bring up these items before the get an agenda item to talk about the issues with the residents for the summer? Talk about statistics or the winter or the lights?
My comments came at what is known as citizen speak at the very beginning of the meeting. And I had prepared a 4 or 5 minute dissertation on, again, our critical concerns and needs for enhanced security. And I referenced in my remarks the serious armed gang invasion of our beach community that summer, previous summer, which resulted in several stolen cars, a handgun taken, cash, and the state police telling me that this rash of crime was very prevalent and growing worse along the shoreline. So I referenced that as a further need for us to hear from the board their concern. What kind of concern do they have, if any? And if they did, when could we possibly see some enhancement, some change?
Yeah. So those are all open session things. Then they can go into executive session to discuss what they plan to do. But I would suggest, since are the residents on this board of governors? Are there, I assume?
Yes.
So they should be able to, you know, listen to the residents to get these agenda items on that you're concerned about as well.
Well, yes, sir. They needed to address them at that time, at that meeting, and not deny us of the open discussion that we were requiring. This was the last meeting of the year. So after this meeting it was adjourned, several members, you know, bolted to their homes, their safe homes in Florida and elsewhere, and we, the year-round residents, were left again without any enhanced security. And our needs to this day have not been answered. As I mentioned, there was no form of communication from the board to the residents in on the website, on the bulletin boards, emails, postal mail, nothing. They just disposed of it.
Well, keep the feet to the fire, because I think that there's some things here that, you know, if what you're saying is true, that they can, not everything it falls under this exemption.
That's why I'm here, sir.
Attorney Carmen.
Sure.
Can you shed some light on this, please?
Nope. I hope so. Attorney Harmon, counsel commission, for the record. So the meeting was called to order, like Commissioner Strader was saying, in public. And the citizens did have an opportunity to put their issues on the record. And then after their issues were heard, there was a motion to move the security discussion into executive session. I think that perhaps what the complainant would have liked to have seen is after the executive session discussion for the respondents to come back
and give them some more affirmative decisions that have been made. That didn't happen, and I don't think that I can make that happen. But there was a robust discussion in the public part of the meeting, and then they moved into executive session, as I say in paragraph 6, to discuss the security matters. Now, you know, if I could order them to come out of executive session and talk to the residents again, I probably would have done it. I mean, in my order, you know, even though I found no violation, the commission understands the residents' concerns. But to the extent they go into executive session to talk about possible security measures, my hands are tied. So,
Could you read the second order that you drafted, please, into the record?
Although the commission found no violation in this case, the commission sympathizes with the residents' concerns referenced in paragraph 7 of the findings above, encourages the respondents to be as transparent as they are able regarding the security measures enacted and put in force.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I respectfully take issue with Ms. Harmon. There was no, underline, no robust discussion. There was no discussion at all, except in the executive session. That's why I'm here. There was no discussion, open discussion, period. As soon as I finish my remarks and citizens speak, the security commissioner on the board demanded an executive session. He nearly cut me off.
I think, Mr. Chairman, that's what I was referring to, was the complainant had a pretty long commentary, his discussion to the respondent board. I think they listened to the complainant's concerns. He brought them forward in the public part of the meeting. After they heard Mr. Serkin's complaints, concerns, the other residents' concerns, as addressed by Mr. Serkin, I mean, I think he was speaking not only for himself, but for many residents, then they adjourned the meeting into an executive session. I mean, it looked like they were going in to talk about possible security measures to take with regard to the concerns that the complainant has raised. It's an expressly permitted reason for executive session. Now, you know, do I think that maybe they should have come back out of executive session and readdress the residents? Maybe, but I can't order them to do that.
And I respectfully take issue with Ms. Harmon. Again, it was not reasonable to go into executive session on these grounds, on what we were seeking. And when you look again at the statute, what enables a board to go into executive session regarding security, none of that applies to what we, the residents, were seeking. And none of it applies to my dissertation in Citizen Speak.
Just ask one quick question. In the
make one question.
So who elects the board in this organization?
General population of the beach.
Right. So it's not an outside corporate board. It's,
no, not at all. You. They're volunteers.
But you could theoretically be on the board.
Sure.
Okay. So it's the residents select the board. And
yes.
Talk with them on the street. Residents select the board. And that's very helpful to me in taking also into consideration the language the hearing officer Harmon included in point two. I would also, just because I'm focused on prominence these days, is not a prominence question, but take just as opposed to the Bridgeport case. This case, it came at the end of November 2021, and by April of 2022, less than 6 months, the hearing on it was held. So that's, I think, also important to note in this case, that not all cases have the same amount. And the cases and the time frame is significantly shrinking now. And it's terrific that in this case, so it's a fact that unrelated directly to your case, but just my general interest in this promptness question and finding remedies when appropriate. I'm watching the timeline more carefully, personally.
I see that.
And I noted the timeline here when it's on the positive side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do any of the other commissioners have any questions?
Thank you.
Attorney Harmon, I just want to confirm paragraph 5. There was a notice of action on the agenda for discussion of security strategy / deployment of security personnel. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that's what they went into executive session to discuss.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. May I?
Sure.
Yes. There was something stated on the agenda. And when the agenda came out, I emailed the then president of the board, Mr. McHugh, urging him to have an open discussion, not to go into executive session. I just want to make that clear.
All right. Thank you. Do any of the other commissioners have any questions or comments? Anything further? All right. With that, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I will move that to the chief officer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. So thank you. Thank you, Mr. Sargent. Thank you, Attorney Eastep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Harmon.
Thank you.
Sir?
Yes.
What? I'm a little confused. What is your decision?
We approved the hearing officer's report to dismiss the complaint, but along with that came paragraph 2, which Attorney Harmon read into the record regarding the urging your board to be more transparent. So the decision is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Calling docket number FIC 2021-0683-0683, Greg Smith and the Day versus Mayor, City of New London, and City of New London. Is Greg Smith here, please? Is anyone from the Day here? All right. So just identify yourself, Attorney.
Attorney Brian Eastep on behalf of the respondents, Mayor, City of New London, and the City of New London in this case.
You have the floor.
Thank you. We have a limited concern with the decision, and that is in paragraphs 16 and 17, where Attorney Perlman found that the city was in violation of 1-214B12 and 3. Those are the sections in which the employer municipalities required to first be viewed to decide if the matters are private and should not be disclosed, and then they need to ask the employee if they also object. It may have been because of an inartfully worded affidavit, which I'll take responsibility for. It was submitted on behalf of Attorney Jeffrey Londrigan, who was not able to be present the date of the hearing, in which he stated in paragraph 5, I reviewed the original complaint and executive summary prepared by Attorney Michael Rose on behalf of the City of New London, and I received an objection from the London Police Chief Brian Wright regarding the request for the original complaint and executive summary. I recognize that I probably should have added an extra sentence that based upon that review, we felt it was appropriate to look into the redactions and to ask the chief if that was appropriate or not, which is what was done. So that's our concerns with it, that it's found that we violated that section when I feel that the affidavit and the actions taken by the city did not violate that section of the act. That they, in fact, did the review, made the determination, reached out to the employee. The employee agreed that he wanted the matters to be redacted, and then the redactions occurred at that point.
Perlman is not here, correct?
Perlman's not here, and it sounds like she based her decision on the evidence she had before her. Attorney Instep is bringing forward, while I don't doubt what he's representing is not part of the record, that Attorney Perlman had before her this kind of elaboration on how the notification went down. So if she simply must have had that affidavit, the way it was worded, it looked like it was just an automatic notification without following the procedures in 214.
Again, I'm not attempting to enter evidence in. I know that's inappropriate. I'm just giving a different slant on the affidavit as submitted at that time period.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
What is there a specific request you're making to?
Well, she states in 16 and 17 that the respondents failed to prove they determined whether it was reasonable to believe the disclosure was an invasion of privacy, and therefore we violated that section of the act. We just request that those two paragraphs be removed. We're not objecting to the remainder at this time, at least, of the decision. That's still being reviewed internally, but I mean, we understand the remainder of the decision as issued.
So you agree with the remainder of the decision?
Well, we don't have any objection as it's written. We're not waiving our rights as to what's going to occur after you adopt it at that point in time. So I can't necessarily say we agree with it, but those are the portions that were requesting to be stricken at this time. The rest of it, we understand the decision as issued and reasons therefore.
And so there was an additional, you call it a slant on the affidavit as opposed to additional information or evidence.
Yes. As I said, the affidavit stated by Attorney Londrigan that he reviewed the complaint in the executive summary. He reviewed the request when it came in, reviewed the summary, received an objection from the police chief. Again, poor drafting of it, but I say that even the reading as it's there could say that we followed the procedures required, that there has to be the analysis first by the municipality before even taking it to the employee. And maybe it's just my attempt not to become Bridgeport, but we've been here before and we understand how the procedures work under those circumstances.
I'd be a little reticent to just remove those paragraphs without getting some input from Attorney Perlman. She's very exacting in what she does. And I'm assuming, she didn't have a witness. She had just this affidavit. Was there any other testimony about this at the hearing?
There was not, because I can't recall why Attorney Londrigan was not present. I believe he was in court on something, and we did not want to continue the hearing for the sole purpose of him testifying, because we knew that there were going to be in-camera review and the remainder of the decision was going to occur. And under those circumstances, we wanted to move forward with it, and Attorney Perlman requested an affidavit as to what actions he took be submitted afterwards, hence the affidavit that came in.
On that basis, I agree with Attorney Murphy. I would be reluctant to change Attorney Perlman's decision.
We'll discuss moving it off until the next meeting that she's here.
We could do that.
We have a little bit of time. I think we have. Yes, we could take it up at our next meeting.
Okay. I'll just see. There's an email. It was dated October 7th, right?
Right. That's the request. Uh-huh. The date filed, it's like December 8th. Oh. So you could share with her what came up here today and consider it at the next meeting.
I'll move that we table this docket number until the next meeting or next meeting that Attorney Perlman is able to attend.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none,
take a roll call on the motion to table this matter. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Matter's tabled.
Thank you. Thank you.
Please, please, all right. So the next one is a docket number FIC 2021-0737, Birmal Mitari versus tax collector, City of Torrington and City of Torrington.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Could you state your names for the record, please?
My name is Samir Mitari.
My name is Armal Maftari.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Matt Studer for the respondents.
So the matter's been dismissed, so Mr. Maftari, would you like to go forward?
Matter is dismissed.
Would you like to go forward? You're the most aggrieved.
It's recommended it be dismissed. You're going to explain to us why you don't think it should.
Which, my case?
Yes.
Your case. You have to explain to us why this decision, in this case, should not be dismissed because the hearing officer dismissed it.
Which hearing officer dismissed it?
Did you read this?
There's a decision.
Which one?
The decision.
No.
You didn't get your decision?
No, I didn't get anything.
So how did you
get anything?
How did you know to come here today?
I don't know. According to my partner, he's actually partner of my property, private property, in which this matter is for, and it was mailed to his email.
So I told him that you have a court hearing today in Connecticut for the. I write the complaint, the paper. It was dismissed, but I still did not understand under what ground.
Okay. So the decision.
That's why we're here. Under what ground was it dismissed?
The decision had 12 paragraphs that explained why it was dismissed.
And those 12 paragraphs were mailed to me?
Did you? Hang on a second. Sir, did you share that with your brother?
No, I have not.
You didn't share it with your brother?
I just told him that I don't understand. I did not understand.
So where do you live, sir?
I live in Brooklyn.
Okay, why did the notice go to you in Brooklyn?
Well, in case he doesn't receive it, I offered my email and my phone number. But last time, the last email that was given for, sorry, for the documentation to be sent to, it was his email. So in case he doesn't receive it, they mailed it to a copy, I guess, to me as well. So
okay.
I received it, but I
we're going to double check where notice went.
Yes.
So the address, who lives at 118 Beechwood Avenue, Torrington, Connecticut?
Me.
So state Irma?
Yes.
Okay, so the notice went to you at 118 Beechwood Avenue, Torrington, Connecticut.
Notice by mail?
Yes.
I didn't receive any. I haven't been there for the past 2 weeks. I've been in Brooklyn. I also domicile in New York.
Okay, and your brother told you have a hearing today, and he knew that the hearing was based on this decision of 12 paragraphs, but he never shared that with you.
No, he did not know. He did not know that this was.
I did. I just didn't understand the ground. Don't say that.
He just didn't understand what it meant, but he did receive it, and he never shared it with you.
Yes.
So you had notice, at least that there was a decision, and you had notice it was a 12-paragraph decision from your brother, but you never read it.
No.
Correct.
Okay. Can this matter be continued? So I'm asking Attorney Murphy if the matter can be continued because you may want time to review the decision so that you can object to it.
But how could a decision be made without my presence?
You had a hearing, sir, that you attended.
Which
hearing officer, Paula Perlman, rendered a decision in the hearing. And this body, this commission, then reviews that decision that she made.
Paul Perlman?
Attorney Paula Perlman made a decision. Did you appear here?
No. Did I hear? No.
You didn't?
We did have one hearing.
Yeah.
Which was on the, what do you call that, camera.
Right. Right. That was the hearing.
They said that no ruling would be made until this hearing because they still couldn't figure out because
this is a recommended decision. So her decision does not sit until this body decides that it's effective. But she recommended to the commission that we dismiss it. So she listened to your evidence. She
the grounds. You have to read the report.
They're all spelled out.
Would you like to come take this from my? Here, you can come.
Yes.
So would you like a continuance so you can read it and then come back again and argue?
Well, I haven't.
You could potentially review it now.
Yes.
So there's an option. Option one would be we'll pass the matter and you can review it in the hall and come back and argue. Option two would be if we have time, we'll continue it to another day. I know I want to hear from counsel. They may have an objection to that, which will give you another few weeks to prepare so you can come in. All right?
We would rather have the hearing today since we're all here today.
So. All right. So then we're going to pass the matter.
Okay.
And we'll take it up at the end of our docket. So stay close within earshot.
Yes.
And then when we call your name, please come back in and then we'll expect you to be ready to argue.
If you're in the hall, we'll send somebody else.
We'll be here.
Okay.
Thank
we'll
you.
Here. Thank you so much.
Here
sorry
goes.
About that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
All right. So the next is docket number FIC 2022-0027, Robert Hagar versus Chief Police Department, City of Groton, et al.
Go slow, Mr. Hagar, so they can have a chance to look at this.
Sorry, I don't know how to turn it off. Important things are supposed to be dinging, but it's my grandchildren.
So I'm Robert Hager, complaint.
Mr. Hager, I'm sorry, I'm mispronouncing your name.
That's okay.
Hager, okay.
Who are important to me, my grandchildren.
So
that's why they ding.
You didn't say that first off.
Is there anyone here from the City of Groton? All right then, Mr. Hager, please begin.
I'd like to address the commission because I feel that there's a deficiency in the hearing officer's report as it relates to the interpretation of the statute that was used for claiming the exemption by the City of Groton. I believe it is not exempt for two main reasons. The statement given by the person whose statement was requested by me did not meet the legal definition of a witness. And any statements by this person do not meet the legal requirement to be exempt under 1-210C3. The statute in question specifically states that exempt records compiled in connection with the detection or investigation of a crime include signed statements of witnesses. There are two cases that have been discussed by the Freedom of Information with respect or which have bearing on this, my request. Bona versus the Freedom of Information Commission, docket number CV94-0123-4116. The requested report was considered exempt because, quote, it contained an allegation that an individual engaged in criminal activity, end quote. In this case, there are issues raised that are not reflective of the current case. Specifically, number one, the requested statement does not allege a crime. It's a fact that was confirmed by the police report related to the incident. It should be in the file, but I can hold up what was entered into evidence. Under status, no crime involved. Did you want me to pass this around? Or? Okay. So in addition to that issue, disclosure is sought, in my case, for the public interest and balance between public interest and Freedom of Information Act exemptions is appropriate. In the second case, Commissioner of Motor Vehicles versus Freedom of Information Commission, 1979, the term, quote, crime was construed to mean, quote, commonly understood usage, end quote. In the present matter before the commission, no infraction has been issued in this matter. No law enforcement action has been initiated. To my knowledge, there's no ongoing investigation. Hence, there is no crime. By definition, if there's no crime, the person given the statement is not a witness who's able to give a statement that would be exempt under 1-210C3B. It simply doesn't apply because the threshold wasn't met that the statute requires. Finally, I'd like to ask the commission to consider that the respondents did not give an evidentiary showing, including one, that a crime occurred, two, that the individual identified as a witness has actual knowledge of a crime, three, there's a pending law enforcement action at which the individual will testify, four, there's ongoing detection or investigation of the crime by a law enforcement agency, and five, the claimed exemption, that a claimed exemption outweighs the public interest. In the absence of meeting these five elements, the requested document I do not believe is exempt under 1-210C3. If it's not exempt, it should be provided.
Thank you.
Excuse me, if there's no crime, I think there's an exemption for no cooperation of criminal conduct. Is that what it's called?
Uncorroborated.
No. Yeah, uncorroborated allegations
of criminal activity. Yep.
Yeah, I figured I'd get it, but exactly backwards. Yeah.
Very, very
close, but no cigar. Okay. So, I mean, if there's no crime, then it's still exempt under that exemption. It would be more likely than not.
Uncorroborated allegations, right, would be exempt under that provision.
Okay.
But that wasn't an issue here.
No.
Well, can I make a comment with the uncorroborated allegation? The report is lengthy. There's a statement made where the other party, the person who's been identified as a witness, says that certain things happened. Those actually did happen. So it actually isn't uncorroborated. That part of the statement actually did happen, but there's no crime, as the police officer indicated on his report.
If there's an investigation of a crime,
then an alleged crime. There's an investigation of an alleged crime.
And if there's an uncooperated allegation.
But if they investigate the crime and determine there is no crime, it's still an investigation of a crime.
Right, you just uncooperated.
If I may be heard, Mr. Chairman, Danielle McGee, I was the hearing officer in this matter. Just wanted to review a bit of what the evidence was that was presented on the day of the hearing.
See the statement that is. Is that an exhibit?
It is. It's an evidence. It's right. In the exhibit.
Have that file.
Please.
The other file. So
go ahead.
So the evidence that was presented was that the police department was called to investigate an allegation that Mr. Hager was harassing another unidentified individual. The police went to the scene, they investigated, and they asked this other identified individual to go back to the department to give a statement. And that is the statement that's at issue in this case. I'm not going to, you know, obviously weigh in on the identity of the individual or what that statement says, but generally that person did report on the events that occurred at the scene where the harassment was alleged to have taken place. As Mr. Hager, I think, seems to agree that was the allegation that was occurring at that time. I think the report does indicate at the top on the very first page that ultimately no crime was identified or involved.
No crime involved.
I do think that's separate from what the exemption requires, which is that there be no disclosure of signed witness statements pertaining to records of law enforcement agency not otherwise available to the public, which records were compiled in connection with the detection or investigation of a crime. So even though there ultimately was no conclusion of criminal activity, the police were in fact called to investigate an allegation of harassment. And as I said, the one record that's at issue is on its face a signed witness statement. And I think that pretty much addresses the concerns raised by Mr. Hager. I do think the record is exempt. And I did take it in camera. I have examined it. If any of the commissioners are interested in taking a look.
Do any of the other commissioners have any questions or comments? Would you like to see the exhibit? We have the camera room now. We have to go to Trinity Street.
We'll find a space. We'd like it.
Mr. Hager, you're looking for the spots that are blacked out.
No, the statement.
The statement itself.
Because when I read the statute, it doesn't say an alleged crime. It says a crime occurred.
And if the police investigate and said no crime occurred, this individual is not really a witness. He's the other involved party, too. We have this tendency for police officers and police and law enforcement agencies to want to relabel things so that they can skirt freedom of information requirements. That's what it seems to me. The statement itself is actually at the bottom of the police report. I mean, in a skeleton form. It's there. You know what the guy said.
If I could just interject, I'm not sure Mr. Hagar knows that that's what's in the statement since it's been withheld from him. I don't know if he can really opine on what is or is not in the statement.
May I read into the record what the police officer said?
That's okay.
I don't know why I'm perseverating on the unfounded allegations of criminal conduct, but if there's no criminal conduct, then it would be that exemption. And since that was not raised, I don't know if the other side, the respondents, even brought that in the question, because I don't know if they had to at that time.
It was never raised.
Right, because I don't think they had to necessarily bring up that exemption.
And if I could just add again, just back to the language of the statute, it's records of law enforcement agencies not otherwise available to the public, which records were compiled in connection with the detection or investigation of crime. I don't think, again, that just because the law enforcement agency didn't ultimately find that a crime had occurred or made an arrest, that somehow the signed witness statements are subject to disclosure, because the statute requires it's related to records obtained through the course of that investigation.
Understood.
Mr. Chairman, I would take it the same way if it eventually went to court and the person was found not guilty. That basically says that there was no crime, but that doesn't mean all the records are now exempt. They're still in files that were not available to the public, and they have witness statements. And I think up to Commissioner Hankins to say, I still think that this special law covers that. From being, an exception that could be withheld from the public.
It was the detection or investigation of a crime, I believe. I believe the exemption applies. Further discussion?
Not from Mr. Possession.
Not from me.
Okay. Okay. I'd entertain. Motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the hearing.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Mr. Hagan.
Thank you for the effort you put into it.
Yes.
See, you good take job. Such a long
thank
time,
you,
now the other guys are ready to go.
Thank you, Attorney.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
I think Attorney Herman went to see if the parties are ready.
That's our last one, right?
Yeah.
Not a problem. So, have you had enough time to review the decision by the hearing officer in this matter?
Yes, I did.
You did. So you would like to argue?
Objections to that, yes.
Sure. All right. And you're prepared to do so now?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Wonderful. So just identify yourselves again for the record.
Senior Minari.
Oh, yes. Excuse me.
For the record.
Yeah. I'll recall docket number FIC 2021-0737, Hermel Matari versus tax collector, City of Torrington and City of Torrington. Could you please identify yourselves for the record?
Samir Matari.
Thank you.
Hermel Matari.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Matt Studer from Bertram Moses for the respondents.
Thank you. Great. So I'm not sure who's going to argue, but I'm assuming.
Well, we both partnership in the house.
Okay.
So.
All right. Why don't you begin, please?
Yes. The reason why the case shouldn't be dismissed, because there's no grounds that proves to me that they have given me all the information that I could defend myself against. I haven't gotten, which I asked, the delegation authority, in which they have the delegated authority written in a piece of paper that they have the right to levy and put liens upon me. They haven't proved their oath of office, showed to me their oath of office. I don't know who this woman is. As long as I know, she could be the janitor of the city of Torrington. So I need to see some type of proof documents that her oath of office, delegation authority, that must be given by the secretary. If the secretary is not, according to the United States Code, Title 26,
Sure.
I just believe, Mr. Chairman, that...
You have to speak up.
Sorry.
No, you don't have to stand up. Just speak up, please.
We just believe that our property has been foreclosed unlawfully. We have demanded before the foreclosure that the city of Torrington, the one of Gosley, tax collector, to provide us proof of the authority that where she has the authority to collect property tax on private property, because this is private property that we're here about. It is our private property. Even though it's on my brother's name, because we decide, you know, because we are equal, we are one. In a way, it's how we are raised as a family to love one another, never hate or, you know, have any conflicts within the brother family. So we consider the properties us. We're together in it. So we believe that our property was foreclosed unlawfully, and also there was no court order, no court hearing, or nothing basically, because we went together to the Litchfield
Judicial Court,
District Court, Superior Court, and we requested to for our case under our name or from the city of Torrington as tax collector if they open any case against us for the foreclosure of our property. And they said no, they looked at it on a record. The only thing you had, which at the time under his name, which, you know, the property is under his name, it was just a credit card payment. That was it, nothing else. So we were shocked. We said, can you please relook on the system one more time? And she looked the clerk's office. She looked very well, and she said, no, you don't have anything. So we just left the court as there's no court case going on. Basically, the foreclosure for us, according to our knowledge, means it was fraud. It means it's just made up.
I also called in state of Connecticut, I found out that there's no sheriffs that put notices or so forth, signs in the property if it was to sold, right? And I asked, they said there's no sheriffs in Connecticut, but there is a servant marshal, they called them. In state of Connecticut, you guys use servant marshals to serve like a piece of paper noticing that the property is for sale or a sign that the... I called and in Litchfield County, the servant marshal said they must provide or call or tell us about the property, if they're selling the property. And I said, have they? They said, no, they haven't. City of Torrington has failed to do that also.
They were actually shocked that they proceeded without them being notified and posting any notice on the property that's being for sale.
So just so you're clear, you're here to request records.
Yes.
I understand that you are upset with the decision regarding the foreclosure. But
yes, the record are, for example.
So, I just want to point you. So, at paragraph 9, it states, and your attorney was Attorney Spinella at that time?
Yes.
Correct.
So, it says, it is found that by letter dated January 3rd, 2022, the respondents provided Attorney Spinella, who was representing the complainant at the time, and that's you, the complainant.
Correct.
With copies of such records. So did you get the records from your attorney?
Yes, according to those records, I have it on email. I didn't get it from my attorney, by the way. I did get it on the first hearing of FOIA Act.
That's when they sent it to us.
That's when they emailed it to my email.
It would be important to get it from your attorney because
he failed to speak to communicate every time I'll call him and find out what's going on with the case. You know, matter of fact, Attorney Spinella sent the mail a letter. I have it home. I'm sorry I didn't bring it with me. Stating that we had court May 15, that he had filed a lawsuit case, and that we had court on 15. He never even filed for a lawsuit case. He lied all the way till the end when he said that he's no longer representing me because...
That's right. He actually lied from the very beginning that we hired him to represent ourselves. And when we request for the FOIA Freedom of Information Act for all the documentation that related to our foreclosure,
private
property, we requested everything through our attorney Spinella at the time. And it seemed to us, according to the last hearing, that he did not actually request what we requested on previous hearing together on the last time. We requested more than what the attorney Spinella actually documented on the papers. So which it was a little fraud on his side. That's fraud because it's not what we requested. You know, we requested a lot much more than that. All calls, records, emails, delegated authority. I don't even know who they are. I mean, you could be anybody in the building and say I'm so and so without, you know, show me proof. Because in the end, if I'm gonna go and City Hall pay property tax, you almost show ID who you are paying the property tax. If not, then I mean, who's paying the property tax? I mean, how would you even understand who's paying it or under whose name is being paid? So we requested all this information so we know who we're dealing with, interaction, business. And it was never provided to us, never. It was never even requested from our attorney. So therefore, our attorney, when we called that what's going on, you know, with our case, basically, it was just honest to God. It was only lies after lies. And that's the reason why we fired him and we don't have an attorney. So we chose to, because after that, I'm sorry to cut off, but after that, we kept looking for an attorney, but because it's hard to find someone who's willing to represent your rights, which is our God-given rights, our unalienable rights, our unalienable rights, which are protected under the Declaration of Independence, and also the U.S. Constitution, which I believe that... That tax collector Luana Gosley, I'm just trying to recall her name. Sorry, tax collector Luana Gosley for the City of Torrington LLC. I believe that she has taken an oath or affirmation of office, which I believe that she's entitled to by the Constitution. She's bound by the Constitution to obey my rights as we the people. I am the people.
Reclaim as one of the people.
I have the right to
due process of law, and no property shall be taken without due process of law. If you, for example, let's say you go get a loan.
I'm going to stop.
Hear me out. Just one second.
I'm going to focus on.
Yes. It's just, I've never had a case hearing on my case. This is my first time. Honest God, true, that anybody has to hear my problem with what's going on. This is the first time.
I understand.
I've never had a court case. I never had anybody hear me out or nothing.
So I understand that you have some issues with your attorney, your former attorney.
Correct.
But the attorney, and I'm going to let the other side argue, but the attorney who represented you at the time and spoke for you said they wanted the entire file, the entire tax collector file relating to 33-37 Culbert Street, Torrington, Connecticut.
Yeah, I'm going to object to that.
Including all material related in any way to the May 11th, 2021 sale of this property generated before the sale to the present date. That's what he asked for, the date of the request.
And it
goes on, the hearing officer found, based on the evidence presented in paragraph 9, that information was given to the attorney as requested. And so based on that...
But never got in my hand.
But that might be an issue for your attorney, not for this body. This body only deals with making sure that
public... I have the right documents to defend myself.
Making sure public records are disclosed.
Yes,
right.
And they are not.
I'm going to let the other side argue, and then we'll come back, okay? But I think I'm only going to let one argue at this time.
Yes,
I'm very lenient with that. All right. So,
thank you. So I would simply recommend that the commission adopt the hearing officer's preliminary decision or proposed final decision. As you just read, Mr. Chairman, the request asked for the entire tax collector file relating to the subject property, which was provided to Attorney Spinella on January 3rd of 2022. I believe it, and, it was entered as Exhibit 4, was a letter from Attorney Spinella dated August 4th, 2022, indicating that he no longer represented Mr. Midfari. I do not know what Attorney Spinella shared with his client or not, but that information was provided by the respondents. As a kind of belt and suspenders during the hearing on this matter, my colleague Attorney Kimmel provided the respondent, the complainant, with all with the tax collector's entire file on this property, which was entered as Exhibit 3.
So you provided it to Mr. Midfari at the hearing?
Yes.
Even though it was already provided to
his
attorney?
It had already been provided to his attorney, yes.
Okay. I just want to understand that. So Mr. Attorney Spinella was provided with a set of files?
Yes.
He later says that he is not attorney for these two gentlemen. Not, does he say at that point whether he was or was not attorney when the files were provided to him?
I believe there was testimony entered during the hearing. I believe my colleague, Attorney Kimmel, asked Mr. Midfari whether he was represented as of January 3rd, and the response, I believe, was yes.
I'm going to ask you to answer that question. You actually told
me. Let me ask you one more question.
Because I can answer that question.
No. In the same files that were given to Attorney Spinella or not, but purportedly given, were also given, and how were they given to these two gentlemen?
I believe by email. And and that is the entire response.
There are two technical questions in mind. Whether Attorney Spinella got the files while he was still attorney for them, and the second, whether an email to which it was sent was a correct email at the time, or is the best email we as a commission have. Those are the only questions I have.
No answer. Can I see the file though for a second? And we don't have Attorney Perlman here. She's recited the evidence that she had.
So Attorney Spinella did not file this complaint. It was the complaint, right?
I believe counsel filed the complaint.
Spinella did?
I believe so.
I assume he had.
Paragraph four, articulated,
but that's why.
Paragraph four indicates that Attorney Spinella.
Oh, there you go.
Filed it on behalf in December.
I read this over twice. I didn't see that. Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know when Attorney Spinella no longer was representing. It's just looking for the exhibits just to see. You indicated that the file was made an exhibit at the hearing. Exhibit three
is the tax collector's entire file, all responsive documents. I believe Exhibit 4 was the letter from Attorney Spinella to us, indicating that he no longer represented Mr. Midfari.
Exhibit 4 in here.
If that was not entered as an exhibit, then I apologize.
So there was a letter from Attorney Spinella saying you no longer represent. Do you know when that was?
That was August 4th, 2022.
That's when he wrote the letter?
The letter was dated. Yes.
Okay. The hearing here was conducted on September 1st.
Commissioner Streeter.
Attorney Studer. So you're saying your coworker from Berkshire Moses sent the file electronically previously, the full file?
The full file to the complainant, I believe in real time during the hearing.
Okay. Is it possible that can just get resent again?
Of course.
So I mean, if we can you know, just to try and make this proceed smoothly, if we can get, you know, one or two good emails for both of you, you know, through the chairman, if we can do that, just so just to try and, you know, at least get that file that. Because that's the premise which we are looking at. We are dismissing it because you already received the documents, technically through the attorney at the time and then at the hearing. So that was the reason.
Can I also add to his answer to his question?
Just a second.
Yeah, if we can agree to do that, you know, I have no further comment.
Thank you.
Just from that, we can find out from the complaints which email address to send it to. There's no.
They have the phone.
Well, why don't you give it to them again?
Right now,
would you state the your email address?
Yes.
Permel?
Yes.
Well, I don't know,
please.
If we want that to be on a public.
It's okay.
We
no
can
problem.
Write it down.
You know, if they can start talking on it.
Maybe you can write it down.
Broadcast to CTN and.
Okay. Could you write your email address down?
Got it.
That's real freedom of information.
I think it would be freedom.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'll trust counsel to send that.
Of course.
He's represented that on the record, so I think we're okay with that. This proposal would answer all my, I mean, make my questions now. Do any of the commissioners have any further questions?
Okay. And counsel said that he had no objection to that, correct?
No objection.
And you could read that, counselor, so there's no.
Yes. Yes.
So I think that, you know, Mr. Miftari wanted to just briefly.
Yeah, no, is there anything further?
I don't have anything.
Commissioner Street. So, Armel Miftari,
yeah.
Would you like to say?
He actually asked him a question if Attorney Spinella, Stephen, Commission, I'm sorry, yep, Commissioner Stephen Puzessi.
Puzessi.
Yep. He stated that if I received anything from, he actually did state it in front of me, but Paul Spinella. He said that, yes, I got the file, and I will be giving those files to you in presence of my father and brother. Never received those files.
It sounds like you have an issue with your attorney.
No, it sounds like he has an issue with me. All I'm doing is asking for files and what's my right.
I'm trying to talk within our jurisdiction.
In the middle of that, I think the solution is you are now getting. You are getting.
Basically, I was left blind.
You're going to get what you wanted.
Please, that's all I'm asking for, to defend my rights.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps Colleen Murphy would like to.
Yes.
I was just suggesting that perhaps we could make a copy of this, Ms. Miftari, right now, after you vote on this decision. We can give it to him as he's.
Sure. There's another way to do it, too.
Right here.
So,
you can leave happy.
What Attorney Murphy is saying is that she'll copy the record that was already provided by.
Just briefly look at that.
And I
trust that it's the full exhibit, yes.
And then you'll have it that way, and if you need it.
All I ask for is simple. I mean, I received this mail after the first hearing stating that they have put in, where is it? Back all the way.
You're going to get it now. So your request was for records. You're going to get the records.
It says a written witness statement, right?
Yeah.
Exhibit P.
Mr. Miftari, I think we've got you.
I'm just saying there's no notary. There's no dates, nothing. So how could this be put in a file and it being accepted? It shouldn't be accepted. There's no notary, no dates, nothing. Right?
Questions for another four.
Yes, okay.
Us,
yes, so. Please. But I do ask for delegated authority. Where do they derive their authority from? I asked for
those are other questions that's outside our realm.
This has to do with my case of my right of property and how they had the right to sell my property without due process. You go get a loan. Let me go back to what I was going to ask.
I'm asking you to please stop.
Yeah, no, it isn't relevant, sir.
How come someone's right is not denied upon a mortgage or a loan, but if I bought a cash property fully owned to me, I'm denied of that right? That's not right. You should take that into consideration. No man should be deprived of his right to due process. That's all I'm stating. You know, why everyone else has the right to due process? If I go get a loan or mortgage, I buy the property, my private property with a mortgage or loan, I've been disclosed with a contract stating that if you don't pay this loan and you do this and you do that, that's meaning of the minds of the contract. So if you don't do this, then we'll take your property because we have the right to take your property under this court and this law and so forth. I didn't get all of that. This is called service from the Secretary of the State of State Treasury Secretary has the delegated authority, which they must provide the City of Torrington, Donna Gasly, a delegated authority form where she has that right to prove that to me and serve me with the rules and regulations upon that authority that I must pay this according to this statute. I must pay this. She must provide me with all these rules and regulations of it and how it applies to me and how, you get what I'm saying? That's what I'm asking for.
So,
it's
so
fair.
What I'm trying to tell you, sir, this body deals with records only.
Yes.
You requested records as set forth in paragraph 2.
Can I request this? Since Attorney Spinella did not communicate properly, can I request this?
You've got to let me talk, sir.
Yes.
You've talked a lot. So
I'm sorry.
You've requested records as set forth in paragraph 2. Those records are going to be provided to you again. They were provided to your attorney. They were provided to this body at hearing. There's a copy of it here.
I have it on the phone.
You're going to get a copy of it today as a courtesy. You can also get an email copy from counsel if you'd like another copy of it. So you're going to get it four times.
But these are not the records that I...
Your request will then have been satisfied. And after that, you can use those records to assert whatever rights you need to assert regarding your property rights. But this body can't decide that.
No, of course. This body must hear my concern.
I know you're upset, but this isn't the right forum, and that's what everybody's been trying to say. This is not the right place. So I'm going to end. There's a motion. I'm going to... Motion's been made and seconded.
Mr. Chairman.
Is there... No. We're done with public speaking right now. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay, and hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. Thank you, Mr. Mitafari.
What was this yes for?
Thank
I'm
you,
sorry?
Mr. Mitafari. I appreciate
what was this yes
it.
For?
We approved the hearing officer.
Oh.
Decision. But you'll leave here with a copy
you mean
of
you
it.
You approved the decision that was dismissed?
Yes.
But you're going to get the records. Now,
are you under the oath, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind me asking you?
I'm going
to get an officer here.
No. I think
we're okay. No. Why would you get an officer? See, that's not right, sir.
Your thing is over.
My thing is over. But you ruled upon...
The chairman has told you it's over.
Transit versus Pagliara, the...
Thank you, counsel.
The counsel brief.
Chairman, guys, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice to see you guys. And I'm sorry for inconvenience.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you. Last Wednesday, the Supreme Court heard the case in Drum versus Freedom of Information Commission at Eastern Connecticut State University. I think that the arguments went well. The court seemed to have concern on both sides of the issue. They had questions all around. So it was a good argument. I had a wonderful moot court panel. I just want to give a shout out to attorneys McGee, Miller, Smith, and Munn. They really gave me a really thorough from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. moot court and really got me ready for the court. It's so much work for them, and I so appreciate it. And that was their second moot court in 2 months, because last month they got me ready for the Demas matter that was before the Supreme Court. And next month, they'll be so excited to get me ready for Lothert versus Freedom of Information Commission, which will be heard on November 14th at 2 p.m. And other than that, I have Attorney Perlman in court right now arguing the Greenwich Police Department versus Freedom of Information Commission, which has to do with a failure to run a search that was requested through the police department's next gen system in order to look at the records that came up to see if they were exempt. They never ran the search, so the issue is whether they had an obligation to at least run the search, review the results, and then determine whether the records should or should not be disclosed. So that's being heard as we speak.
Which court is hearing that case?
The Superior Court in New Britain, Tax and Administrative Appeals, yes. So we'll see what happens with that one.
I hope it's concluded.
I hope it's concluded. What time is it? Yeah, it should be concluded by now, yes.
And which court is here in Beaufort?
Appellate court. Appellate court, August 14th, 2022. So next month. So seems like we have... Sorry. November 14th, 2022. Next month, yes. I'm still a little dizzy from Jerome. But yeah, I just found out yesterday that the Lothert's going forward on November 14th. So that's it.
Thank you. Good job.
All right, so then under executive director's report, maybe under the status of our operations, just because Commissioner Fusashi raised it about our hearings being scheduled, what occurred to me after you mentioned it in the first case with Bridgeport, we do have these two tracks going on right now. Some of our cases are probably going to be extremely old. We have two tracks because in the first track, there's still some leftover cases that were filed during the pandemic, of which that Bridgeport one was one, and they have no expiration date on them. So we're sort of battling the fact that those are older, but we have cases now that starting July of last year that have the year expiration on them. So we have to keep be mindful of the year expiration on the sort of newer ones coming in while balancing these older ones and trying to incorporate them into our hearing processes. So just wanted to, you know, show you if you're reading those cases and you see the footnote at the bottom, it'll indicate this one doesn't have a deadline. And we're working pretty quickly, I think, reasonably quickly, to get through all of those ones that were filed during the pandemic, but we still have a few of them kicking around. So,
do you have any more Bridgeport cases?
I don't know. For certain off the top of my head, but I would say yes, I would estimate that we do. So just wanted to just give you a little more background on that.
Yes.
On staff reports, we still have a lot of staff happenings. We're now into our third round of the Secretary of One interviews next week for that. And we're trying to get the posting for Tom's position, the Director of Public Education position that should potentially be posted, I hope, at the end of this week or beginning of next week. And then soon we'll also be making an announcement about Mary's position, the Managing Director's position, that we will be filling that extremely soon. So a lot happening. And we're starting, I think, to wind down some of these, these staff issues, partly resulting from the retirements, unfortunately. So then under legislative report, on that I'll just say that I've started some discussions with Paula, our legislative director, and we will likely have some kind of recommendations for you, I would say, by the December meeting, see if there's something that the commission wants to put forward as a package. You might recall last year we put forward our package and it didn't quite make it all the way to the finish line. So that might be a consideration to bring that forward, and we may have one or two other ideas for you. So I would expect at the December meeting, it's a long session starting in January. So we'll wanna have that to the legislature as close to the beginning of that as possible. And that's all I've got, no new business.
I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. We'll take a roll call on those in favor. Mr. Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan. Yes. We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you.